Good evening, everyone. It's been an awesome, awesome experience in Alberta. My first tour of duty. I've been to BC a few times, but never here. And it's mostly the beautiful people that I'll carry with me back to Orlando. Thank you for being God's smiles and His hands and feet while I've been here. I've truly felt like you're my second family. I've met and got acquainted with many of you in this room. You know, the space shuttle program in Orlando, Central Florida, was a huge part of our identity for 30 years. It drew millions of visitors, millions of tourists every year to watch the launch at various times over on the Space Coast in Cape Canaveral. Just 50 miles from Orlando. On a clear day, you could go out in my front yard and you could watch that ball of fire and trail of smoke climbing the sky. It never got old. Never got old hearing the countdown on the radio or on television. 10, 9, 8, I'm walking outside right now. I'm sorry. I don't care what I'm doing. Sorry, I got to go. Walk outside my office. Walk outside my home. Wherever you are, driving down the road. Oh, look at there. See ya. You know. Never got old. Once I was flying out of Orlando on a business trip. It was an early morning flight, about 7 a.m. We took off from the runway and the plane banks toward the east, toward the Space Coast on the Atlantic. After a few minutes, the pilot comes on the speaker and I feel the plane jerk toward the north, hard left. And we're paralleling the Atlantic coast as the pilot says, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for that jerky turn, but NASA just came on and told us, get out of the no-fly zone. The space shuttle is due to launch in 30 seconds. So he continued, if you'll look out the right side of the aircraft, you'll have the opportunity to view something that very few people will ever witness. Fortunately for me, the plane was quite empty that day. And it was the one day I was kicking myself for not bringing a camera. Because I was going out on business, and I wasn't in broadcasting yet. So I unbuckle my seatbelt, and I leap across the aisle. And I'm looking out the window, and sure enough, we were close enough to see that little bird down on the launch pad, already smoking. And then the fire explodes. And it just seemed like it took forever to get off the launch pad as we're flying along about 3,000 or 4,000 meters off the ground, 10,000 feet or so. The shuttle just lit up the morning sky, just a huge fireball down below us as it continued to climb up to our altitude. You could tell it was accelerating. And as it came past us, it started to bow itself over the Atlantic. That's what happens when the shuttle takes off. It starts to lean out over the Atlantic like this. And I could see the fireball of the engines going up beyond us until finally it was faded in the distance and all you could see was a vapor trail. Unbelievable. You know, John 14 is so relevant for our generation. It launches with a scene of Jesus, a vision of our future home that He's gone beyond the sky to prepare for us. But at the same time, it shows us that Jesus didn't just fly off like the space shuttle to leave us here to struggle with life and faith all alone. In fact, the emphasis in this passage for tonight is so much stronger on the home that Jesus promises to make inside you and me right here, right now. Amen? So tonight, I'll be reciting one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It's John 14 from the New King James Version. If you have your Bibles, feel free to follow along. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do greater works. Greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And my Father will love him, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say that I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. But now I have told you before it comes, so that when it does come, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Rise, and let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord. One of the most frequent commands in the Bible is fear not. Well, if it's a command, surely God provides the power for us to live a fearless life. Amen? In this chapter, Jesus reminds us several times, doesn't he? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you. Friends, God takes responsibility for our peace when we do our part. It's pretty simple. We simply focus on Him and keep our focus there. That second part, keeping our focus there, it's easy to forget, isn't it? But it's also difficult because we're not accustomed to using our spiritual eyesight. Instead of looking at the circumstances around us that are going on. I had started a small business several years ago before I got into broadcasting. And one day I learned that one of our vendors had made a change that would affect our largest client. This wasn't just any customer, because if we lost this client, my business would go down in the toilet, because it represented the majority of our revenue stream. So all day long I fretted, and I prayed a lot too. That evening I was running some errands, and on my way home I was impressed to stop and get a container of milk at a convenience store not far from my home. It wasn't just an impression. It was a compelling urge. So I pull up at the convenience store. I get out. I go in. I grab the container of milk. I take it to the counter. And I take a $10 bill and I put it on the counter. And she gives me a $5 bill and some coins and a couple of ones. So I shove them in my pocket and I take the milk home, put it in the refrigerator. And like most guys, I took the crumple of bills and coins and just threw them on the counter. It was that kind of a day. Just that kind of a day. I see some people nodding their heads. And as I'm looking, I don't know why, but I'm seeing the crumpled bills starting to unfurl on the counter, and I notice there's some writing on one of them. So I'm curious. So I start to push the creases out so I can see what the message is. And this is what it said. Jesus told me to tell you that He will fix it for you if you ask Him. And the last part of the message says God loves you no matter what. My eyes filled with tears. It was that kind of a stressful day. And I sank down to my kitchen floor and I breathed out a prayer of praise because I knew God had heard my prayers and I knew He knew my anxious thoughts. We didn't lose that client after all. In fact, our business grew with them for several more years. It's a major reason why I was able to start media ministry full time, because that small business was profitable enough, so I was able to focus in ministry. I've shared this story with thousands of people, and no one had ever seen a message like this written on currency before. Anyone here seen a message like this? Once again, God found a very personal way to reach me in my mind that night. He reminded me that, number one, He knows my name. Number two, He knows the challenges I'm going through. And number three, He wants to personally help me solve my problems. Amen? All I have to do is ask. I keep that $5 bill, by the way. This is a copy. The original is at home in another Bible. If you want to look at it, I've highlighted some of the writing on it later. But it's a constant reminder. God knows what you're going through. And He says all you have to do is ask. In John 14, verse 14, Jesus says, "If you ask how much? Anything in my name, I will do it." But then there's this gentle reminder right after that in verse 15 where He says, "If you love me, what? Keep my commandments." It's kind of interesting, right? That the scripture flows that way. It's as if Jesus is saying, listen, we're in a relationship here. It's not a one-way street. But sometimes, God knows that even answers are not enough. Sometimes He knows that what we need the most is to simply know and have an awareness that He's with us. I remember one night after a period of very intense counseling. I was feeling overwhelmed and I was having a private pity party for myself. Anyone ever had one of those? Nobody's ever had one of those. A private pity party. And guess what? I was complaining to God about it in my hotel room for more than 30 minutes. I'm talking out loud to Him, just like this. I had so much to implement in my life. I got work to do at home, God. I don't have time for this. And I'm packing because I got to fly home the next day. And as I turn out the light and I climb into my bed, my bags are packed. It's dark in the room and I'm laying there. And a voice spoke into my mind. And the Holy Spirit said to me, if you weren't broken, you would not need a comforter. Wow. I knew the Holy Spirit was referencing Himself from this very chapter. In the King James Version, He's referred to as the Comforter, right? In the New King James, it's translated as Helper. Thankfully, my mind at peace, I fell asleep very quickly. You know what the world says today? They scoff at us. They scoff and they say, I'm okay. You're okay. But that's a lie, isn't it? We're not okay. If we need proof, all we have to do is observe the wealthy, successful celebrities that are increasingly choosing suicide over life. We need a Savior to save us from ourselves. That's why He sent the Comforter. I think sometimes we Adventists miss some of the practical reality of the indwelling kingdom power of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? I think sometimes we get awkward when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Oh, we're good at talking about the second coming. It's part of our heritage. And John 14 is actually a vital part of our blessed hope. Right? The chapter starts out, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. But let me ask you a question. What is the essence of heaven? Wherever the presence of God dwells, right? The Shekinah glory. John 14, 23 tells us, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and what? Make our home with him. Isn't that amazing? It's not just Jesus, it's not just the Father, it's we, the Trinity power through the Holy Spirit. And so what is it saying? It's saying, by faith, heaven and eternity have already begun. Amen? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. When we grasp that, if we really believe that, we don't fear for future government meltdowns. We're not going to fear for nuclear disaster. We're not going to fear for terrorist attacks. And especially as Adventists, we're not going to fear persecution. And we're not going to walk around being anxious and angry because our plans just didn't work out the way we had hoped. You know why? Because the King of Kings, He lives not up there beyond the sky like the space shuttle, but He's right here, right now, in our minds and hearts. And then when Jesus does come the second time, we recognize Him. We recognize Him because we know the look in His eye. We know the sound of His voice. We've been walking with Him in this life. In Revelation 19, there's this incredible scene of a wedding feast, right? It's between Jesus and His bride. And what is a wedding anyway? It's just one event in a love, from a loving journey that began a long time ago, right? That's what it's going to be, because we've already been walking with Him. Does that make sense? The kingdom of heaven has already begun for you if you walk with Jesus. We don't have to wait for the great day by and by. We can start enjoying God's presence and a bit of heaven right now. Our series at Camp Meeting has been titled Recite Your Story. We've talked about how memorizing the Scriptures becomes part of your DNA. And then as you recite your story, you're not just reciting the Scriptures, but you're sharing everything God has done for you personally. And then you come to realize that the author and finisher of your faith is still writing epic stories. In Malachi 3, verse 16, do you know what it says there? That every time we encourage each other in the Lord, and every time we meditate on God's name, you know what happens in heaven? He writes it down in a book. It's called the Book of Remembrance. You see, God's not trying to zap you out of heaven. God's not trying to keep you out. Every time from an honest heart, you look up. Every time you encourage a brother or sister, guess what God does? Wow. That's my son right there. Attaboy. That's my daughter right there. I got to write that down right here. There's God writing it down in a book. That's our God. That's the true God we serve. He's trying to save us. And this book will be told. These stories will be told for all eternity. And guess what? What does that mean? That means this moment right now, God is writing it down. Right now. And listen, friends, the implications of this, it means that every moment matters. Every moment. Don't believe the lie that says your life is just average. Don't listen to the voice that's whispering into your ear. You can do nothing to change your world. If you walk with Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Either we believe it or we don't, right? And rest assured, friends, that yours is a life of biblical proportions. Yours, both now and forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son to save us from ourselves, to save us from fallen angels, and to save us from the world. We're not worthy, Lord. We thank you for going to make a place for us someday where we can join you. But I ask for each heart and each mind here, Lord, that until that great day, they will begin to recognize how precious they are in your sight, and that they will begin to live as if the kingdom of God really is inside of them, free, free to think and free to live, because you bought their freedom back for them. And I praise you, Lord, for being with us this week. Go with each one. And I pray you will protect them until your kingdom comes in person. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Should I go ahead and set this up?